Good morning and welcome to those of you in the radio audience. We appreciate your tuning in and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you would like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer. Yesterday, we looked at why we believe it makes a difference what we believe. In our study this morning, let us look at why we believe that baptism is essential for salvation. The necessity of baptism has been disputed by many in the religious world. Some teach that one is saved by faith before and without water baptism, but friends, the Bible teaches that one must be baptized in water to be saved. Consequently, then, there have been many religious debates on the question. Many of our friends believe in baptism and practice it, but do not believe that it is essential to salvation. So let's look at the question. In any controversy, it's helpful to clarify just exactly what the issue is. Let's look at what the question or the issue is not. The question at hand is not whether or not one is saved by faith. We are. It is not whether or not one is saved by the blood of Christ. We are. It's not whether or not one is saved by God's grace. We are. And it's not whether or not we are saved by baptism alone, because we are not. It's not a question of whether we're saved by works of merit. We are not. Neither is it a question of whether one is saved by water. We are not. But let's look at what the question is. The question is whether or not water baptism is essential to salvation. It is when or at what point one is saved by faith. It is a question of when or at what point the blood of Christ is applied. And why is this so important? Well, if baptism is essential, then any who are not baptized will be lost. And those that teach that it's not essential are false teachers. However, if it is not essential, then those who teach that it is are binding what God has not bound. So let's look at the evidence. Look at Mark 16:16. The text says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Let's consider two opposite statements. First, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Second, he that believes is saved, and then he should be baptized. Which one of those do you believe? Which one of those is what Jesus says? Here's a sentence, I think, that's parallel in the way that it's made. He that eats and digests shall be healthy, but he that does not eat shall be unhealthy. What's essential to eating? You understand that it is eating and digestion. However, to be unhealthy, all I have to do is leave off eating. Likewise, this passage says there are two things essential to be saved. Let's suppose that Ford Motor Company says, "He that believeth in Ford Motor Company and is baptized in our pool shall receive a new Ford." What must one do to get the new Ford? Could one argue, "I believe, so give me the Ford, and then I will be baptized"? Another verse that we need to serve as evidence is Acts 2:38. The text says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Note that repentance and baptism are joined by the coordinating conjunction A-N-D, and. They are joined like two railroad cars. The direction in which one of these goes, so goes the other. If repentance is for, that is, in order to obtain the remission of sins, so is baptism. However, if baptism is for, that is, because of, that is, one has already received the remission of sins, as there are some that would have us to believe, then repentance goes in the same direction. A parallel passage would be where we find for the remission of sins is found in Matthew 26:28. Jesus shed his blood for the remission of sins. That's the same expression, both in the Greek and in the English, that we have in Acts 2:38. If baptism is because sins have already been forgiven, then Jesus has shed his blood for the same reason. Yet if the blood was shed in order to obtain the remission or the forgiveness of sins, then we're baptized for the same reason. Let's look at another verse, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. The text says, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not to put in the way of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Let again consider two opposing statements. First, baptism doth now save us. Second, baptism doth not save us. Which of those do you believe? Which of those is what Peter said? Notice the comparison in the text. 8 souls, that is, Noah and his family, were transported from the old world before the flood to the new world after the flood by means of water. Thus, the 8 souls were saved by water. Likewise, that is, the like figure, we are transported from our old life of sin to a new life of salvation by baptism. Another verse, Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27. The text says, "But we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Paul affirms you are something. What are they? They are the children of God by faith, verse 26. Then he says, "For," that denoting the reason which follows, the reason is you have been baptized into Christ. The point is, those were the children of God because they had been baptized. And in every case of conversion that we read about in the book of Acts, the person was baptized. You know, not every specific case mentions faith, but we know from other passages that faith is essential. Not every case specifically mentions repentance, but we know that repentance is essential because of other passages. But yet, every case mentions baptism. Whether it was the Jews in Acts 2, what do we see? They were baptized in verse 38. Whether it was the Samaritans in Acts 8, we find that they were baptized in verse 12. Whether it was the eunuch of Ethiopia in the latter part of Acts 8, again, we see baptism specifically mentioned in verse 38. Even the case of Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9, we see specifically mentioned baptism in Acts 22 and verse 16. In the case of Cornelius's conversion in Acts 11, we see that specifically there is mentioned baptism in Acts 10. In verse 48. Lydia, in Acts 16, again, the 15th verse specifically mentions baptism. The jailer in Acts 16, the latter part of the chapter, again in verse 33, baptism is specifically mentioned in his conversion. And the Corinthians that we read about in Acts 18, again, of all the other things that are necessary, essential, baptism is specifically mentioned in Acts 18, and verse 8. And friends, we know that salvation is in Christ. We are baptized into Christ. Remember Ephesians 1, verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood." What's taking place? Redemption. Where does it take place? In him, that is, in Christ. How does it take place? By the blood. Well, in the next chapter, in chapter 2, we read in verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Again, what's being discussed? Being made near means the same as redemption. Where does it take place? In Christ. How does it take place? By the blood. Three verses later, verse 16 of Ephesians 2, Paul says, "And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross." What's taking place? Being reconciled. That's the same as redeemed or being made near. Where does it take place? It takes place in one body. That is the same as being in Christ. How does it take place? By the cross. That was where the blood was shed. Now the question is, how does one get into Christ? The Bible tells us in Galatians 3 and verse 27, we are baptized into Christ. How does one get into the one body? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, he is baptized into one body. But certainly there's a lot of objections you're going to hear to the necessity of baptism. But one person may say that, well, one's saved by faith, that's not by baptism. And you know, to refute the idea of baptism being essential, this is so often the appeal that is made. The appeal to passages that say that we're saved by faith and conclude from those passages that that means baptism cannot be a condition for salvation. Friends, if faith eliminates baptism, it would also eliminate repentance. The passage that mentions faith cannot mean salvation by faith alone, because James rebukes that in James 2 and verse 24. Examples, however, can be found of those who believed but were not saved. Look in James 2 and verse 19. Also look over in John 8, verses 31 and verse 44. Here were those that did believe, but they obviously were not saved. And just like the previous objection, passages are cited that often teach us that we're saved by the blood of Christ. So they conclude that baptism is not essential. But if the passages that say salvation is by the blood of Christ means that baptism is not essential, then they also mean that faith is not essential. The blood is what saves us. Baptism is merely the when. We are washed in the blood, Revelations 1 and verse 4. And yet, baptism washes away sin, Acts 22:16. The remission or the forgiveness of sin is by the blood of Christ, Matthew 26 and verse 18. But we're baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Friends, we see that our time is gone. We appreciate your listening. We hope that you'll tune in again tomorrow at the same time. And until then, we bid you a pleasant good day and return you back to our announcer.